This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into grandma pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau. Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday evening. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Yeah, I'll run it up the pole.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
Dear God, dear Shriad, it was so fabulous to drop you.
I feel bad. I wish you wouldn't play that anymore. I thought I was responding to something that was happening in real time.
That's the saddest part of it all, is that you really thought you were defending yourself. But really, yeah, so. They weren't words spoken to you. a lot to get to today.
Busy show.
Busy, busy program. You should probably go subscribe to the Michael K. Show podcast if you haven't done so. We've been talking about it all day. Let's put a bow on it and hear from Sandy Alderson. We played this earlier. It was a couple hours back. This was Sandy on how the Mets will be moving forward and better as an organization.
Steve has talked about zero tolerance. And I think that for incidents of this type, this magnitude, or any incidents that approach this kind of magnitude, that's the response. Obviously, as in this case, you know, we have to explore the facts, but this is not something that we're going to tolerate as an organization. I was scheduled today to talk to 400 employees about mission, vision, and values. We postponed that conversation so we could talk about what happened over the last 18 hours. When I came here, my goal was to put a good team on the field and change the culture. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we have very strict and well understood approach to these kinds of situations. They're not going to be tolerated. When I was thinking about this last night before Steve and I had our conversation, it wasn't just about what's right in this situation. I said to myself, what do Mets employees expect? What does the Mets organization expect in this circumstance? And that weighed very heavily as well.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people are taking exception to the Mets. You know, why didn't they do it right away? A responsible organization makes sure everything is buttoned up. So, you know, when the story hit, what was it, like 10 o'clock at night?
Right.
So it would have served everybody's purpose for them to fire him at 10:01. So it's done with some thought. Obviously, they knew that what he did was reprehensible. And Steve Cohen fired him before 8 in the morning. That's not quick enough for people. I think the Mets handled this as well as they could. And I don't think they got hoodwinked. There's just so much vetting that you're going to do. He spoke to people and everybody said, he's a great guy. You're going to get a great guy. You know, he's vigilant. He works hard. He's a baseball junkie. But you know what? It turned out there were hidden stuff that the Mets didn't find out. So when it became public, boom, he's fired. The Mets handled this the right way. Sorry, they did.
Yeah, people are reaching. People are really reaching if they're trying to punish the Mets for not making the decision late last night and it being too late today. That's reaching.
Yeah, I don't want to make this about like the Met perception, but I do feel like they don't get the benefit of the doubt, right? But for a guy like Buster Olney, I respect. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I don't know how. Like, so we're gonna go. So now it's ours. You know, they didn't sit on it for a week. You know, they didn't listen in to hear what the public perception was gonna be. I went to bed with this being a story. I got up and looked at a text message. I got up at 8 o'clock this morning, got a tweet from the owner of my favorite baseball team telling me he was fired. I think that's fine. Right? So if it happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, it'd be better?
People want too much. I mean, people really want the world to run on their time frame. Sorry. There's a multi-million dollar contract that you're dealing with. You have to vet it with your lawyers. How much of this are we responsible? Can we fire him for cause? All of that stuff is going on. You just can't make a snap decision. That's it. He's fired.
See, I mean, this was pretty quick.
My goodness, it's quick.
But that's a great point. We're not talking about you firing the cashier at the pharmacy. This guy is under contract. I'm sure it's like, let's call the lawyers. Let's see. Can we fire him for cause? Is there anything in the contract that says that we'd have to pay him something? Like, just make sure you got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. It's 3-4 o'clock in the morning, right? And then they probably did that. They probably woke up every lawyer and just making sure that they weren't going to get sued for doing this or whatever. Even if they're 99.9% sure that they were well within their legal right to do what they did, what's so wrong with double checking in the middle of the night? And then as soon as you get up in the morning, it's done.
Oh, it's not done fast enough for me. Take a walk, everybody. All right. An untenable situation for the Mets. They're probably totally embarrassed. There's a new owner. Everything's been going swimmingly for him. They hired this guy with much fanfare. And then they find out that, you know, he's kind of a deviant. And they fired him as quickly as they could possibly fire him.
And Mina touched on something that was really important. This concept that I see floated over tweets and the idea that this woman who wants to stay completely anonymous and doesn't even want people to know where she's from, I'm curious, where's the benefit for her?
There is no benefit.
Well,
what are people thinking?
Well, think about what you're kind of implying when you do that. Because I see the tweets. There were people on hold that hung up after I said this. But there were people, why did it take so long? You know what you're suggesting? Is that this is nefarious. Like, she waited till he was the general manager so that she could get exposure. She waited long. No. People don't understand how difficult it is to come forward. And if you don't understand that, then you don't get what's going on.
Well, you're part of the problem.
Right. That's exactly it, is that you're enabling people to believe that these stories aren't true, or that there's some other motivation behind her wanting to go public with this, instead of saying that it's a very difficult situation. There's probably a lot of men who can't understand how it can be emotional because they don't get it.
You know what's another thing that crossed my mind, guys? I thought Mina Kimes also tapped into another thing that was interesting about the power dynamic of being a reporter specifically. Think about it like this. Think about, we make the joke about the awkward reporter laughs when players make jokes and coaches make jokes. Why is that funny? Why does that awkward fake laugh happen? Because even men who have been in the locker rooms forever, who don't have to deal with all the other things that women have to deal with, they are in a weird power position with the players. That's why we get those awkward, stupid laughs at bad jokes. That's why we watch professional reporters sort of buckle at the knees when they have to talk to a Greg Popovich. Because there is inherently a power dynamic between athlete, coach, and the people covering them. So now think about that dynamic with not only a reporter, but she's also a woman, and she also speaks English as a second language. It's an incredibly difficult situation. I mean, if you read the article, you'll see she didn't even understand, just from a cultural standpoint, what was even being implied at first, or even more than implied. So I hope people can just, instead of hearing a word about and hearing a bunch of gas bags ramble about it, go read the article by Jeff and Mina. Read the actual story, and I think it'll give you a lot more insight on why this is so troubling. Now, Kyrie Irving is back with the Brooklyn Nets. He practiced today and will play tomorrow. Here's Kyrie on people not knowing exactly what's going on with him.
Thing that is pretty interesting in watching, when you take a break from everything, there's just so many assumptions about what's going on. And so many people feel like they know me best. They have no idea who I am, nor what I'm about, or what I stand for, or even attempt to take the time, or even for me to invite them to take the time. So it's a two-way street. And when things become overwhelming in life, you know, you just got to take a step back and realize what's important. And I love to play. That's never been questioned. I've committed myself when this wasn't even a thing for me. You know, I didn't really care about media, didn't really care about the fandom. All I cared about was just the ethics of the game and being taught the fundamentals. And now that it's become bigger and it's more of a responsibility that I have in this position I'm in, I'm grateful because I'm able to stand on this platform with others alongside of me that have sacrificed and are going through similar things. So I'm not alone in this.
But he never says what he's going through. I mean, is it mental health issues? Is he distraught about what's going on in the world? He spoke with terrible body language as if he didn't want to be there, and I can't read into that. But, he had his arms crossed and his head on his arms. He spoke complete gibberish. never, ever nailed into exactly what was the problem and why he missed the time. And when he was pressed on whether or not he knew he was breaking protocol, he didn't answer at all.
Well, let's hear that. Here's Malika Andrews asking him about exactly that.
Hi, Kyrie. I'm wondering if you were aware that you had violated the health and safety protocols and what that process was like for you in coming back and going through that investigation, one. And then secondly, what your communication was like with the team while you were away.
Happy to be back. Happy to be around these guys, address the team, address everybody that need to be addressed. Now it's time to move on.
Bruce Beck.
Health and safety front.
I'm sorry, Malika, go ahead.
I just was circling back on the health and safety front.
Happy to be back.
You know what that is, guys? That's Bill Belichick. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. Listen, the end game is this. Athletes don't have to answer a question that we ask them. And he just proved that. So he made himself available, which he's supposed to do according to the rules, and didn't say a word. So we have no clarity whatsoever on why he has missed seven games. But I will tell you this. He's playing tomorrow in Cleveland against the Cavs. The pregame's at 6:30 on Yes, the game's at 7. I'll be watching because it's compelling to see how three great stars are going to play together. But Kyrie certainly makes you sit there with a pencil and scribble out, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because he is really frustrating.
But I think at the end of the day, guys, this is what we're gonna have to live with. Because you're gonna watch tonight.
Tomorrow night. And
if they light it up, that's our lead tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, excuse me.
Yeah, because today's Tuesday. And then we're going to talk about it tomorrow. They're going to light it up tomorrow night. We're going to lead with it on Thursday. And then if they go out and win the championship, this will be a footnote. Because it's about how he's going to play. So I guess you're just going to have to live with it because he's that good a player. And if you're not going to live with it, then hold him accountable and continue to bring it up or don't watch or don't root for him. But you know that's not going to happen. Especially Net fans. And I get it because I'm a fan too. But, you know, your frustration level is going to last as long as, you know, he goes out there and scores 50 points. And then you're not going to care anymore until he goes off the reservation in 2 weeks for something else.
I'll say this for the last time because I don't think I could be any more friendly about it because, like I've said 50 times prior to this, I like Kyrie. I believe his motivations for what he wants to do in the world are pure and really good. And I think he's a good guy. You can be a good guy who changes the world and do your job. That's the part that I just resent a bit.
Yeah, it's happening in LA.
He's kind of shown up to the party, which is great. I mean, I saw a list here earlier that I should actually read. It's the things that Kyrie's done and donated to. It's astounding, and he completely deserves credit for everything that he's done. But I'm not, I don't know anyone intelligent who's arguing that he doesn't deserve credit for the great stuff that he's doing. I just still don't understand it. And some of those things are donated over $300,000 to Feeding America. He partnered with City Harvest to ensure that 250,000 meals were distributed to New Yorkers. He partnered with Nike to donate 17 pallets of food and masks to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. He committed $1.5 million to pay WNBA players who opted out of the 2020 season. He paid off the college tuition of 9 HBCU students from Lincoln University. And most recently, we found out from Steven Jackson, he purchased a house for the family of George Floyd. This is a guy who's doing phenomenal stuff. There's just this, like, childish part of him still that needs to do it all with a chip on his shoulder. And it completely takes away from the awesome stuff you're doing because you have to make it this thing about you. Who, LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, Megan Rapinoe, the list goes on and on of athletes who do amazing
Jim
things
Brown,
and
Muhammad
do their
Ali.
Job.
I mean, really, it's ridiculous.
So we love, you know, and now the narrative will be that the media crushed him and the media's terrible, and they're against you. No, dude. There are people in the media who think you're doing awesome stuff. They just don't understand why you couldn't do that in your job at the same time. And if there's a good reason why you couldn't, cool. You have a microphone. And here he is This is Kyrie on mental health.
That's just a big thing about also mental health, you know, just coming in and being balanced with yourself first and then being able to perform. You know, with everything going on in the world, politically, socially, like I said, it's hard to ignore. I want to make changes daily. You know, there are so many oppressed communities, so many things going on that are bigger than just a ball going in the rim. So for me, I just, like I said, it's just the balance of it, of knowing I can delegate my responsibilities off the court to people that I'm surrounded around that are for the fight and are fighting behind the scenes and in front in the lines. And, you know, like I said, I'm not the only one that's fighting. So I'm grateful to unify with others. And that's all I've tried to do. And on the court, the same way, just play with a smile, leave something that I've felt very dear to my heart with this game. And then, you know, whatever my legacy is after that as a person, that's all I really care about.
Listen, in a team sport, you can't be half in, because if you're half in, when you're half out, then you're leaving your teammates in the lurch.
Well,
so if these things are more important, and everything that's happening in the world is more important than sports, we know that. We know that. If it's more important, then walk away. It's been done before. Walk away. If you feel like this is beneath you, then walk away. Well, but I will tell you this, Kyrie, the reason that you're able to do all these wonderful things for people is because you're making $34 million to play a game. But it's a team game. You have to show up. You can't just not show up on a whim.
Well, here's the best thing I can say. It sounds like he's really struggling with balancing his two lives.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I think that's what it really comes down to. And he's coming to grips with that. Maybe retirement is in his future. Maybe he'll finally figure out how to do both. But right now, Peter, it seems like he's really doing
a
juggling act, because these things, and he's struggling with it.
And I get it. He's super young. I mean, these athletes are taking on a lot at a very young age.
But
I get it.
He's got to figure it out at some point.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, the Jets made it official with their new head coach today, and we actually have a statement from Coach Saleh. There are no shortcuts to success, and I am committed to working with Joe to build this team the right way, with talented players that play fast and smart, and a staff that supports and helps develop them through it all. To Jets fans, your passion and commitment are priceless. I understand your expectations and embrace them. We have a lot of work to do and can't do without your support. We're going to beat them. We're going to slam them. We're going to run downhill. We're going to go straight up the gut. Smash mouth football. He didn't say that, but it was.
I'm predicting an absolute over-the-top love affair the fans will have with this guy, because he's got a great personality and he's the complete opposite of what they just got rid of.
And he looks like Brandon Tierney.
Who's a good-looking guy.
Now, yeah. Before we get out of here, guys, we got to do a quick Tiger Watch. It's quick.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Well, Tiger recently underwent yet another back surgery, his fifth. And put out a statement, I look forward to begin training and I'm focused on getting back out on the tour, but he will miss at least the next couple tournaments on his quest, of course, to get his 83rd PGA Tour win and continue to chase Jack in his 18 majors. That'll do it for ENN as we get you ready for Rangers Devils next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
So we have Tiger saying he'll miss 2 months, hope to be back for the Masters. Do you have a quick ice pick, Don, or not?
I do not.
You've gotten off to a shaky start.
That's all right.
But
it's okay.
You can rebound. You got to see other leagues playing out. Then you'll be better than anybody.
See?
That's the kind of belief I have in you.
Wow.
And I'm betting these games, so don't get on me. I lose money, too.
I didn't get on you.
I'm talking to the general public.
Life is a series of a lows and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Enjoy Rangers hockey.